Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Quick Slants with Bethel University head football coach Steve Johnson. Quick Slants is a weekly program where you, the fans, get to ask your questions about the Royals, football or sports in general, or just seek the coach's wisdom about life events that are going on out there. In this week's episode, the coach talks to us about the upcoming game against St. Olaf. He discusses why people think linemen aren't that bright. And the coach tells us what he's praising the Lord about. So let's get right to Quick Slants.
Let's welcome back Coach Johnson this week. Coach, do you have team updates for us?
You know what? We're getting a little healthier, and we're feeling pretty good about that. We should be able to have Bryce Marquardt play for us this weekend. He's missed virtually both the last two games, and then we're kind of recovering still from the offensive line guys, but guys have a week of experience, and so. Team updates are working hard. Practice is going good. And, we'll be working through that. So
you can't ask for much more than that. You had a tough game against us last weekend against Concordia. It seems like the team has been able to really play well in the first half, but opponents have been kind of getting the edge in the second half against you guys. Are there things that you're seeing personally that you think you can turn around to get, better results in the second half of games?
Yeah, that's a million-dollar question, and whenever you kind of settle on one thing, it's something else, and you just don't have any, you want to have clarity to what you're doing and consistency, in your approach and everything else. But I think the most obvious part for us would be that we're just not clicking offensively. And there's reasons for that. Now you can't just put it all on that, because there are times where we're hanging in there, we're doing great, we're really not complementing one another very well, and that's just something that we'll look forward to change, and it's kind of coming. And at the same time, you kind of get used to whatever's going on, and so there's times where there's times where you have, you make a big play, and then the defense gets out there and they follow it up, get your ball back, and you make it up, and you're just rolling. And we just really, we've kind of been the other way, where we're hanging in there, then a mistake is made, and then another one, and then you're kind of behind the eight ball. So, it's really a total deal to where we're incredibly close to being great, but we've just got to fight through stuff, and we got to practice what we preach, stay in the fight, and have faith in each other and the scheme and the coach and yourself, and work that way. So, we've played great teams, and we've had great games, but they've gotten away, and I think the score part of it, Robert, is more the not giving up, but we're not lasting long enough, because offensively we're not keeping the ball enough or scoring. So first downs and scoring is an important piece for us.
I know that running the ball has always been kind of a staple for you as one of the key things that you want to do, but the team's been struggling there a little bit. Is that a product of the injuries that you've had on your offensive line?
Well, there's no doubt about that. It's not just that, but it's probably our biggest injury that's not really talked about was coming in. Brady Bomsta was undoubtedly kind of the spark and a mainstay, and a guy that's we just asked him to do a lot of things on offense. And the third play of the season, he got hit kind of big and separated shoulder. So he's got a separated shoulder, and then came back, played in the game. And last year he broke his leg near the end of the year, and then he had a plate and screws put in that. So later in the Dubuque game, he was hit down low, and the muscles all around that have reacted to a place where he hasn't played. So our best running back, really inside and outside, is Brady, and he hasn't been able to play, and we're hoping to get him a little bit this weekend. We think, you know, he's probably not in as good a football shape as he ought to be by now. And it's going to be a hot day. But I think he's really going to give us a spark in the running game. But that's a big deal. And so then our other guys, they're good players, but they're young guys. And so we have a couple freshmen, Gideon Ebihor and Sam Gibbs, especially. They're running backs, and they're going to be great. They're going to be great players, but you know, we just got a little bit of growing pains, and then you add to that offensive line injuries, but they'll come along too. So we're really growing, you know, and you have to get past the fact that we're not in a familiar position as far as our records is concerned. But you got to walk, you know, you got to walk through that stuff and trust each other and be faithful with stuff that matters.
What were some of the positives you took away from the Concordia game?
Our kids, we played really hard. We stopped the run early. You know, we stopped the run when the game was in question, and I was really excited about. I'm really excited about the growth of our defense, and you know, we can't give up some big plays, and that's what we're doing, and that those are hard things, but I'm very excited about how we're playing in that regard, and I think there were some other pieces that were good. Our quarterback is a terrific player, and he's not as efficient and consistent as he needs to be, and that's coming too. And but he's a great leader, and we just think he's going to be special. And so there's a lot of excitement, but you know, we got to work through some other things, and even work through the, you know, how you feel about, you know, yourself when you're losing. And it's a toughness piece that we have to generate and but also have built in.
You take on St. Olaf this weekend. What are some things that you look at that pose a challenge for you, do you think?
Oh, they're really well coached, and they've got good players, and they've had some transitions, so they've had some guys. They've had some guys that have a lot of experience, and so Coach Killian's got some young guys that have already played some, and so they're pretty athletic. And now that, you know, I think they're learning their scheme. They're getting better at it each week. They're really active on defense, and they come after you, and they're pretty athletic. And so we need to do a great job in those areas, but. Up front's going to be a key. We need to do a great job as far as getting after their quarterback and stopping the run game at up front. And on the other side of the ball, we need to be precise and sharp and powerful up front on offense.
You mentioned Coach Killian, who comes from St. Thomas to Northfield to take over the St. Olaf job. He looks like he has the right kind of skills and intellect to make this team a really kind of a challenging one in the conference.
Well, he really does. He's an excellent coach. We've known him for a long time, and he's bringing some great things to those guys, and they've got, you know even as we watch film, there's quite a bit of St. Thomas flair in there, and you know, their schemes are good, and they do them well, and they're just great teachers, and he's a good leader. And so I think Ole football is on the rise, and they're going to do a good job with those guys.
Let's head to fan questions. We start with Adam from Arden Hills. He says, do you feel like one of the biggest challenges for the team is that the talent of teams that you are playing is getting so much better? Dubuque, Carthage, Hamlin, and others have all improved so much.
I think that is true. I think that everybody is, increased gifts and, you know, causing parity. I don't think, you know, and I'm not just trying to be a coach dude here, but, you know, the disparity in the score of the Concordia game wasn't near the game. And, you know, I think and there's just so many factors in there, but I do believe that there's great coaching. The recruiting has become more keen because, you know, you just got, There's so many opportunities for kids, but you just got to get the right players for your team and your school, and then you got to fit them in where they fit in your team and all those things as far as the physical piece. But I believe that there's great coaching, and there's just a lot of good teams. But I would agree with the statement that everybody's really, you know, everything's a battle every single week.
Dan from St. Paul says, Coach, in these struggling times, I wonder if you ever take a moment to consider all the young men whose lives you have changed. I would think that you not only have helped direct the lives of thousands of young men, but that there are many who have not who would not be where they are without your guidance. I bet most of us would love to hear such a story of one young man.
You know, that is, that's an amazing thing, and, you know, you kind of, you don't even go there because it feels selfish, but I just feel like, I'll start crying here, but, you know, I get blessed all the time hearing about guys doing good. You know, they're doing well, and they kind of blame, you know, Bethel football for that, so it's a big deal. And it's kind of funny, as I was listening to the question, I was thinking, yeah, in my life too, like my life gets changed by these guys because we're in this thing together, and we're growing like crazy. And so it's pretty cool deal.
Yeah, a lot of men have a lot to owe to you, I'm sure, no doubt about it. Yeah. Byron from Hinckley asks, he says, why do people consider linemen to be dumb and stupid? I watch all the adjustments that they have to make based upon how things look when they come to the line of scrimmage, plus how they have to adjust once the ball is snapped. Dumb? That seems ridiculous.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that we can read about in the paper that isn't real accurate to real life, but boy, when you say that, you have to be smarter than just anybody on the deal, and not only smart but intuitive. You know, if you can train a guy and he still won't be good in the O-line, he's got to own. I mean, it is we talk a lot about be a craftsman at your position, and you know, you can have all the tools and all the stuff, but if you don't have the head for it, and you've just got to make a decision and react in a split second, and, you know, you've got a lot of body to move too, you know, and so it's that's a great observation that people, you know, we don't, you know, Lou Holtz one time said, I've coached some great players who were deaf, but never a great player who was dumb.
Heading on to baseball, Sean from Winona would like to know, he says, how do you feel about the Cubs coming off that series against the Cardinals?
I'm incredibly nervous about the Cubs because they're just so up and down. I feel like they have the Javi Baez syndrome. They're so magnificent and fun one second, and then, you know, a little thing not so great the next. But they really have great players, and I think that they have a toughness to them. I think that, you know, I'm kind of hopeful for them. The Brewers are a concern, and you know, that's that series that's coming up right now. So we'll see. I think this will be a big test, because all I have to do is go .500 to be okay. But because they're facing the Brewers. If the Brewers sweep them, the Cubs are on the outside looking in, and the same thing is true for the Cardinals, but the Cardinals have a little bigger hill to climb.
Connor from Chicago would like to know, why the Cubs and not the White Sox?
I grew up in Maywood, Illinois, which is more north. It's not north, but it's more north. And my dad was a Cub fan, and so it's kind of in your blood. It's a DNA thing. It's a everybody up here can understand it totally, but I don't have a choice but to be a Cub fan, and never did, and neither do my brothers, and so we all feel that way. So, and then in Chicago, it's like if somebody's into baseball, if somebody's not really into baseball, or we might say doesn't get it, which is kind of mean, but they might like both. And to a real baseball fan in Chicago, you can't stand the other one. So I can't stand the White Sox, and the Mets and the White Sox would be the two teams that I wish bad for in a loving Christian way. But yeah, I'm total Cubs, and it works out good because I'm a Minnesota guy. So I've been here for, you know, 30 some years. So I'm a Twins fan too, and so not liking the White Sox works for a Cub fan and a Twins fan, so it's perfect.
Jake from Wheaton asked, he says, did you see that Red Sox, where the Red Sox were stealing signs and then sending the signal to their players' watches on while the pitch was coming? I know baseball is a game about cheating, but that seems over the top to me. Do you agree?
Yeah, I don't know how. It's kind of like the offensive lineman we were talking about. I don't know how you can get all that information and that amount of time and all the analytics, you know, kind of get all screwed up. And if you hit a baseball like 1/1,000,000th of a centimeter differently, it's a ground ball instead of a home run, you know. So it's like, I kind of think that stuff's overrated and stupid, and it's like people don't have enough to do if they're cheating on that, you know. Figure out what the guy's going to, you know, be ready for a fastball, you know, and keep your hands back, and I don't know.
Ian,
I don't have time for that stuff. It's like, I think it gets overdone.
Ian asks of you, he says, you're a football coach who loves baseball, so tell us the truth, coach. Which sport is better?
Football is the greatest sport in the history of mankind because of the team aspect is so, you know, every sport has it, but I kind of feel this way. I was going to say this a lot, but I feel this way. My friend Mike Max says that football is like life on steroids, and it really is true. So football, here's the deal. Football is really hard. It's hard to practice. It's hard to, the beating that you take physically, mentally, you know, just even the feeling that we have right now where we're 0-3 and just struggling with your heart stuff, and I want all the guys around me to have happy hearts, and we talk a lot about, you know, your happiness is a choice. It doesn't, you know, if we're waiting around for circumstances, it's going to be 50-50 life, and who wants that, you know? But football is really hard, and that's the great thing. And the other great thing is that you need each other to make it through. And, you know, you need each other desperately. So that team piece of something that you have chosen to lean into something that's tough, that's really cool. And then the fact that you need each other and you have to give your you have to give yourself to your teammates in the game and stuff is, there's really nothing like it.
Even Pete Rose Jr. told me that football is better than baseball. He's, you know, that's saying a lot. So.
Yeah.
Sherry says, we seem to have so little leadership in this country. She's curious about who you admire as leaders.
I feel like anybody who's, you know, not everybody's, I don't know. I think decisive, strong, I can't think of a person right now, but what I, you know, I mean, we never know when we have to lead. I think it's a guy that's just got that that day-to-day, or that woman that's got that day-to-day, this is who I am, I'm striving to be this person and better so that I can have a neat effect on you and others in my team. That's who I respect and I think leads well. And I feel like, you know, people of influence that have soft hearts and have toughness, that's the kind of leader that I think is big. And you don't have to be in front of the group to be that person, but you know, we're all leading somebody, and if you're leading them in a bad direction, then you know, that's what, and I just have disdain for that, you know. So I think leadership is somebody who, you know, has some influence and then you know, makes a declaration, this is who I am, this is who I want to be, this is who I'm becoming, and then walks that way with consistency. That's who I respect as a leader.
That's awesome. And to end out, what are we praising the Lord about and saying hallelujah anyhow to?
Now, we're praising the Lord that we get to be alive and to be loved by Him, and to we got today. And so I want to do good with it and rejoice in Him. Today is the day He made. I'm going to be glad and rejoice in it, and hallelujah anyway. I'd like a better record, but hallelujah anyway, we got today. So back to A.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us this week, Coach.
All right. Thank you, man.
We want to thank Coach Johnson for joining us on Quick Slants this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Bethel coach, please send them to us at stevejohnson@minorleaguesportsreport.com. That's stevejohnson@minorleaguesportsreport.com. Please have your questions to us by Wednesday evening so we can give the coach a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Benier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on Quick Slants.